It is the final live show of the year. It's Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced, as always, in the Allstate Showcase studio. Michigan Avenue still, oh, my goodness, very highly trafficked tonight. The last night of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, people are out and about. A beautiful day in Chicago. What, we got up to 50 degrees in late November. This is craziness. We got a big show planned. We're here for the full 3 hours. Whether you like it or not, that's how it works. We are always having more fun, though, when you are involved in the program. 312-981-7200. That is the phone and text number. And when you call said number, you will be talking to Cody. I'm a little bit under the weather, so be nice to me, Goff. He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you are nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. So Cody is here. I am here. Roger is here. And this is the last time we will be here on a Sunday night in 2017. Together.
Oh.
I know. Now, don't push it, because you know, even on the last night, I'm not opposed to putting you in the cone of silence.
Yeah,
I'm not opposed.
I learned my lesson.
You died. I don't know if you did.
I like how
you tried to circumvent the cone of silence by calling in on Thanksgiving Day when I was in for Rowan Anna.
Well, I
appreciate
it.
Did you have to?
Yeah. I was listening on the way back.
Well, sure. It was a fascinating program.
It was a great program. It's always a great program.
Well, look who's trying to get back into our good graces before the holidays.
What?
Look at that.
I'm speaking truth.
Thank you. Well, it was nice to hear from you. Did you have, was the rest of your Thanksgiving lovely?
Yeah, well, I got home and showed Bridget the food that I brought back, and she had a little bit.
Did you hustle her out of some money to win back your losses from your LRC game or LCR game?
No. I only lost $6.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's all right.
You made it sound like you lost your life saving.
Granddaughter won 42, though.
How does that happen?
Well, we had,
we
had like six, seven people at the table, and each did $3 per round, and we did two rounds, and she won both of them.
Wow.
And it was funny, because about two rolls of the dice before, she had lost her money. So when you lose all your money, you can't roll the dice.
Oh, sure.
But someone else rolls the dice, and suddenly she's got $1 and then $2, and then everybody else is out, and she wins.
She's back in the game.
I mean, it just, and then she just gloated.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Kids are sore winners. They're not good winners.
No.
Yeah, Roger got three-card Monty on Thanksgiving, Cody.
Yeah.
He was playing some sort of wacky dice game with kids and grown-ups, and he got burned.
Yeah, big time.
And how was your Thanksgiving, Cody, the G?
It was nice. My sister hosted.
Did she?
It's the first time my mom has not had to host Thanksgiving in forever.
Was everyone hyper-vigilant and critical about the food, trying to compare it to your mother's?
Well, it was, a lot of people brought dishes.
Oh, that's nice.
So there was a potluck aspect to it.
Okay.
And my parents helped with the preparation, so I think it was too much of a gray area. You know, if one person had made a really bad dish, then we could have gone after him, but that didn't happen.
Too much cross-pollination of the food.
Yeah, a lot of cross-pollination.
Yeah, you can't have cross-pollination.
Yeah.
But it was nice. Everybody enjoyed themselves.
It was wonderful. Actually, today is my mom's birthday, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
They went to see the CSO perform Home Alone today.
Oh, is that right?
The matinee of that. I've never seen, you know, I've seen a lot of video game symphonies, but I've never gone to one of the, a live symphony that performs like during Lord of the Rings or Home Alone or any of these things.
Well, look at you.
Have you done those?
No. I did once for a Wizard of Oz thing in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Bowl. Not the Hollywood Bowl. Yeah, the Hollywood Bowl.
You're not thinking of listening to Dark Side of the Mood, smoking a bunch or anything?
No. We went to a thing where they had the LA Symphony was playing along with the thing, and it was a sing along. It was a whole big thing. Yeah. It was, and they had a parade, which I thought was going to just be children dressed up like Dorothy and the other characters from The Wizard of Oz. I was not aware of the Friends of Dorothy, which is kind of an LGBT thing where they're fans of Judy Garland, and so they're fans of The Wizard of Oz, and so Molly was dressed at 5 as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, and next to her in the parade was like a 38-year-old guy bigger than me with a beard dressed as Dorothy, also in the parade. So it was a lot of fun.
Wow.
It was very eye-opening, and again, a lot of fun because people were just having a ball. But I was like, oh, I had never heard the term Friends of Dorothy before.
Weird.
Until we were at the Hollywood Bowl.
Huh.
So that was my...
We learn something new every day on this program.
I try to learn something new every day, everywhere.
Yeah.
Usually that does not happen, but I try. I go into every day with an open mind, saying, hey, maybe today I'll learn something. You know what I usually learn? that I'm continuously disappointed in humanity.
Just check Roger's Facebook post. Still learned so much about
history. I learned Roger's dog can walk upstairs now. Three carpeted steps to his ottoman. I learned
three
that.
Three carpeted steps?
Yeah, that's very nice. Rufus has his own, because he can't, I'm guessing because he can't jump up anymore.
Yeah.
So you got him. Now, did you make the, did you make those down in your workshop?
No.
Santa's elf, or did
you purchase those? No, we purchased those online, and it was recommended to us.
Very nice.
And they've been sitting there for about 4 months now. He refuses. He keeps trying to jump. He doesn't want to use them, and he's scared of them.
Well, of course not. If he did, listen, who wants to admit that they can't jump up on the ottoman anymore?
That's true.
I complain about that every day. You know, I'm not going to give up. It's like if you try to take, you know, when people are like, all right, you can't drive anymore. Nobody wants to be told, whether you're an animal or a human, you don't want to be told you can't do something anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Like if I had to have steps to go up into my bed, because, you know, I sleep on a high bed.
I know.
Kind of like Princess and the Pea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way up.
I sleep on a high bed.
Do you really?
I have an extra high bed frame for my king size bed.
Oh my god,
we got a king size off Craigslist, which we didn't need, but it was cheaper. I didn't see a queen, so we just got a king.
You bought a bed on Craigslist, not a used one? Please tell me you didn't buy a used mattress
on
Craigslist.
It was like a year old.
No way.
We saw her apartment.
Oh my god,
we saw the apartment.
Did
and
you
we
see all the dead skin and scabies that she left
we
on that
cleaned
mattress?
It off with stuff. There's a process. Bleached it or whatever
it. You burn it and buy
soak it in alcohol.
She's still the original paperwork. We knew it was a year old.
I can find the original paperwork on my mattress since it's about 18 years old. That doesn't mean anything. And God only knows what I've done on that mattress. Well, God and me. But the two of us aren't talking. Neither one's telling.
We cleaned it thoroughly, put a mattress pad on it, and then sheets. I mean, come on. Come on.
You don't know what's growing in there.
They say a mattress. I forget how much. A mattress weighs so much more after you get it because it's just filled with sweat and skin and dust mites and, enjoy that. Well, anyway, so you bought this used mattress from a crack house, and you cleaned off the blood and urine stains.
Shit,
and then what happened?
God.
Put it in one of those bags.
How high up is it?
How high up is your bed?
Do you need like a ladder, like a bunk bed?
Do you have steps?
Dude, it's above my waist.
That's too high.
Yeah.
The last time we bought a mattress, which again was probably 15 years ago, we need a new mattress. But anyway, it got delivered, and I didn't know it had the extra high box spring. And so I got it, and I'm like, oh my God. I got like dizzy. I sat on the bed, and then I laid down. I was like, I won't be able to sleep in this because it felt like I was sleeping on the edge of a cliff. Thankfully, the box spring, and this is honest God's truth, had a tear underneath it. You know, on the bottom, you couldn't see it, and it didn't affect it, but I was like, ooh, there's a tear, good. So I called, and I was like, one, there's a tear in this box spring, and two, it's very, very high. And they're like, well, you didn't ask for the, you know, 6-inch box spring. You got the, I was like, oh, no, I need the shorter one. Okay, well, since the first one was damaged, we'll swap them out. Usually we wouldn't, so because I couldn't sleep on a bed that high, like your bed.
Yeah, we're.
I'm not climbing up there in a trundle.
Our bed skirt actually is still about. It ends about 4 inches from the ground because we got an extra high thing. Because we want to get an extra high frame so we can store stuff under the bed.
So you can pretend you're in bunk beds.
Maximize our storage space, so we could do the show under my bed.
Let's. I'd like to both lay on our tummies under your bed and do the show.
Why lay on our tummies? I'm going to lay on my back.
Yeah, I can't lay on my back and
better
look up. And breathe in what's dropping down from your used crack mattress
that
you got from some massage parlor for $87. I'm not, no. Come to think of it, I'm not getting under that bed because it's raining some sort of, it's like acid rain. It's just horrifying.
How do you vacuum or clean underneath if you can't even move the thing if it's so big?
Well, it's that high you can get the vacuum underneath.
Well, I was going to get a Roomba, but no one got me one off the registry, so, you know.
Somebody texted.
Oh, bringing that up
was
again,
mostly a joke.
Used mattress, you might as well get used Band-Aids, too. Yuck.
Wow.
That's right. Good for you, Texter.
All right. Hey, look, we got to take a break.
Do we really?
Yes.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Mercifully.
Karen's not going to be here tonight. She's out of town, but we have a lot to do. We'll have Naked News after 8:30. We've got students are getting way, way, way too touchy. We'll talk about that. We've got holiday feelings to discuss, Cyber Monday, all kinds of things. So let's do this, and then we'll get to it. It's WGN. Somebody wanted clarification. Did you buy the bed frame or the mattress used on Craigslist. You did buy the mattress, is that correct?
But the mattress and the box springs.
Mattress and the box spring, and you know Chicago is one of the top bed bug cities in all of America.
I'd like to point out that it's in the best interest of the mattress industry. Multinational.
Are you saying there's a conglomerate that the mattress industrial complex is forwarding fake news?
They are. The mattress industrial complex fake news machine is like, oh, replace your mattress every 7 years. Who's got
$1,000? 12 years. Every 12 years.
They say every seven.
Who says that?
Yeah, who's they?
No, the mattress industrial complex says 12 years.
Well, you know what?
What?
I've heard seven.
Well, you've heard seven, sure. You've also heard that it's okay to buy some, you know, somebody's mattress that's had all sorts of blood issues.
Yeah.
Because you get it for cheap.
I will say, so the lady that we purchased it from did say that, and I quote, literally every boyfriend I've had has told me this is the most comfortable mattress they've ever slept in.
And then they left the money on the dresser. I understand how it works. My boyfriends, you know, when I tell my kid that Uncle Bob came over again, I understand. They all thought it was cozy and had a lot of bounce to it. I get it. You could barely hear the spring squeaking. It's a beautiful bed for discreet love. But it's also well broken in. I don't know. Listen, it's up to you. I'm not sleeping in your bed, and I'm never having a sleepover.
What, did you clean it with a dust mop?
Unless you use flame. Flame, as we know from Game of Thrones, is the only thing that can kill evil. You burn a witch. That's what you do. You burn a witch and a used mattress. You know what a used mattress is for? Putting out in the alley to attract rats and hobos.
There you go.
You've met my oldest brother. You know he cast some spells on that mattress to protect me.
No, I think the other way. Well, I think unless your brother is not only a sorcerer, but a, you know, some sort of
exterminator.
Yeah, an exterminator. That is, wow. That
is not so much stuff on there.
Listen, I'm looking at the legal pad. None of this was on the legal pad. The fact that Cody is the most non-hygienic. And I can't believe now Mrs. Dr. Cody is sleeping. She was with this used mattress.
I'm so sorry that you're not as economical as me.
I've had the same mattress for 18 years. I'm economical.
Yeah, all right, well.
It's not a matter of economics.
You know what? I sleep in my own filth. That's fine.
No.
I can roll around in my own skin and mites. But I'm not sleeping in somebody else's, especially when they tell me that all their boyfriends have really enjoyed it.
That was hilarious. It was a hilarious anecdote.
And she throw a squeegee in, too?
We clean it thoroughly. And also, we just don't give into, excessive capitalism.
How big a pot do you have to boil that thing?
What?
You know, to boil that mattress, because there's nothing, unless you soaked it in bleach like a homicide scene.
Did you
hire a professional that comes in and cleans up crime scenes?
You put the yellow tape around it?
We use many chemicals.
So now you're sleeping in just a chemical-soaked mattress.
We all are, man.
No, man.
Ooh.
It's 2017.
Listen, you take your dirty hippie talk and sell it somewhere else. Peddle your laissez-faire sleep habits to another program. Maybe they'll buy it on somebody else's show. Buying it from 6 to 9 on Sunday nights.
I sleep soundly on that firm mattress that I cleaned thoroughly.
Well, the fumes, that's what happens. You sleep soundly.
Yeah, you're knocked out.
Oh.
Note to myself, never stay at Cody's apartment from the 412. Correct. Wow. Listen,
I have a very nice apartment, actually.
You have a very nice apartment.
I have a dragon.
I'm just never walking by the bedroom.
Yeah, right.
You have to walk by the bedroom to get to the dragon.
Look, after you have a mattress for a year, every mattress is used.
Sure, but again, if my house is dirty, it's my own dirt. If I go to stay at a hotel and it's dirty, it's everybody else's
dirt. What doesn't kill you makes it stronger. When you were raised, when you were younger, did they put you in a little bubble? Were you a bubble boy where you couldn't get any bacteria from the outside?
And you know what?
Were you sheltered?
I know it's different because people will say, well, don't you sleep in hotel beds? Sure, I do. And I don't know the unholy things that have happened in the hotel beds that I sleep in, but I know I'm only there for a night or two.
Uh-huh.
It's not that I'm bringing it into my home. I'm willing to risk all that sort of infection for one or two nights at the Country Inn and Suites in Metairie, Louisiana. I'm not willing to every night go into my bed and play Russian roulette with my health because, you know, somebody who was a little loose with their lovin' now decided to upgrade their mattress because they broke this one in too much and put it on Craigslist.
Look, after a couple months, my bacteria kills their bacteria because That's just you're how just powerful
building,
it
you're
is.
You're just building a bacteria Jenga game. It doesn't even matter. At some point, you're going to pull out one piece of your horrible bacteria, and their bacteria will completely collapse on you.
Look, we have to take a break again.
Oh, my goodness. Thank gosh.
Thank you, advertisers. Please buy all their products so we get more of these commercials.
Maybe, listen, we have a lot of mattress sponsors. But Right now, I can say...
But those are new mattresses.
Right, Cody and I are both looking for new mattresses.
There you go.
He might not know he's looking for a new one, but I think when he goes home and re-listens to this discussion and realizes his hippie doctrine doesn't really hold water, all it holds is dust mites and skin, that maybe he'll rethink.
Well, there's actually a new mandate. We can only post podcasts up to 2.5 hours of a single show. So I'm going to start this episode at 6:30 p.m.
Is that the new mandate?
Yeah.
From the man?
Yeah.
Keeping his boot on our podcasting next?
Yeah, I just got a text, but it was over a VPN, so now I deleted it. So it's untraceable and encrypted.
Wow.
Like Bitcoin.
Wow. Hey, we have a big show planned for tonight. It's always more fun when you get involved. Let's start again. All right, let's do this. That'll be news time. It's WGN. We will be here talking about all sorts of fun stuff. But one thing that is not fun, and unfortunately most of us have been touched in one way or another by cancer, one form or another, somebody we love, somebody in our family, maybe you yourself. One group is trying to do something about it and trying to advance research, especially for leukemia. That's the Leukemia Research Foundation. And the Dads chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation is hosting a wonderful event on December 7th, and Andy Cole is part of that group, the Dads chapter, and he's here with us now. Andy, always good to talk to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine, Brian. Happy holidays to you.
And to you as well. So, Rockin' for a Cure is coming up again on December 7th. First of all, tell us about the Dads chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation.
The Dads chapter is one of 24 chapters of the Leukemia Research Foundation spread around the Chicago area. The LRF has been around for 71 years now, was formed in 1946, and has raised over $70 million during that time. It funds research grants, patient services. It also funds scholarships and as well as financial assistance for patients who may need that. And it's not just leukemia, it's all blood cancers.
And that's actually the website, allbloodcancers.org, if you want to get information. How long have you guys been doing Rockin' for a Cure?
Rockin' for a Cure, this is, I believe, number 14. And, Brian, God bless you, I think this is number 10 for you.
Is that right? It's hard to believe that it's been that long that I've been part of the event, and it's been great all along. I've lost count. So if you say it's 10 years, then I'll say, okay, yeah, you're right. 10 years. We'll see.
Well, you know, we can't thank you enough for all you do for us and being a part of Rockin'. It's it's wonderful that you do this for us and give us the opportunity to talk about it, and hopefully we're all doing some good.
Yeah, well, it's every year the crowd seems to get bigger and bigger, and it's a fun event. A lot of times you'll go to a fundraiser and it's kind of, you know, information needs to be given out. People need to know what their money is going for, but they also want to have a good time, especially around the holidays. And one of the ways that you guys do it at Rockin' for a Cure is to hire a band that I have yet to see have people not enjoy themselves.
No, these guys are really good. This is the Libido Funk Circus, and they've been with us now, I want to say, this is their 9th or 10th time around the block with us.
Except for 1 year that I was there, they've been there every year.
Yeah, they really have. And they're just so much fun there. It's not just a concert. These folks are active on the stage. They're moving around. I remember one time they were actually running long because there was a Dirty Nelly's, which is where we have it out in Palatine, had something going on after our event. And so I'm trying to get them off the stage, and I'm giving them the wrap it up sign, and they're laughing at me. And all of a sudden, one of the guys comes running off stage, and I'm yelling at him, "What are you doing?" And he digs into a box, he puts on this big wig, he says, "I'm doing Elvis." And he runs back on stage. He's doing Elvis.
They are an unbelievable party band. I defy anybody to sit there while they're on. They're doing songs that, they're doing old songs, new songs, and putting a theatrical twist on it, and they are just, they're a lot of fun. So we know the entertainment is going to be great. We know the venue, Dirty Nelly's, which is at 180 North Smith Street in Palatine, is one, it's a great venue. Two, it's easy to get to either by car, or it's right across the street from the train station in Palatine.
Right across the street from the metro station, yeah. So if you want to take the metro out, get off at the Palatine station, you'll see the marquee at the end of the platform, and it's right there.
It's unbelievable. Nice and easy. So you've got that. And then people say, well, you know, we like to, sure, we're going to buy our tickets. That's $25. Or you guys give a nice discount for big groups, right, if people want to plan their holiday parties?
Right. It's $20 for groups of 10 or more. And they can buy them online. Go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/rockinlrf. That's rockinlrf. Or they can go to the foundation's website, which is allbloodcancers.org, which you mentioned earlier, and click on events and go to Rockin' and purchase tickets there.
And, you know, you come in, and that's nice. You paid your 20 or your 25 bucks to get in. You know the money's going for a good cause. And you guys give them some food for that money, you know, some nice appetizers and things. But there's other ways because, listen, we know ticket prices alone, that's a nice donation. But we want to get some more money. That's the whole thing. When you're raising funds, you want to raise funds. So always great auction items, right? The silent auctions, we've got all sorts of drawings. What kind of prizes do you have that lined up this year?
Well, what do we got? We got, of course, we have the Lucy basket.
Sure.
All the stuff from I Love Lucy and memorabilia from that. We have an overnight stay at the Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club in Door County. I think they are or were a
They advertise here,
sponsor.
Sure. Yeah, we like that.
And we have an autographed picture of Anthony Rizzo from the Anthony Rizzo Foundation.
Very nice.
White Sox tickets. We have a Blackhawks picture. We have food items, restaurants from Let Us Entertain You, our friends at Olive Garden. We have a great basket from the Home Depot.
Nice.
Gave us a nice donation for this. So, and, of course, our friends at Kohl's Department Stores are going to be there helping us out again, as they have every year for quite a while now.
Yeah, Kohl's always steps up and helps, which is very nice. And there's always, we can't list all the prizes that are there because literally you're walking two sides of a huge table and then along a counter just to go. I'm guessing every year, and correct me if I'm wrong, since I do most of the drawings, there's usually close to 60, 70 different drawings.
We're usually over 70, yeah. A lot of people walk out of there with, almost no one leaves empty-handed. I shouldn't say that. But there's some people, let's be honest, some people win a lot.
I don't know how I end up pulling the same, because it's one of those nice things. You buy your raffle tickets, and explain how this works, because this is a nice way to buy tickets, because sometimes you'll go somewhere like, oh, it's $6 for $5 or $20 for $10. You guys do it different when you're buying the raffle tickets.
We've got Captain Wingspan, Don Colo. He's sort of a long, skinny guy, and he's got a roll of tickets, and he stretches his arms out, and however many tickets are in that, that's how much you get for $25. And I know, I'm sorry, it's $30, but two wingspans for $50.
Okay.
And all the prizes are lined up, and everybody can choose what prizes they wish to throw their ticket in the basket for, and they can throw one ticket in, or they can throw a whole wingspan in and increase their chances of winning. So it's really up to the individual what they like and how much they bid on it.
Because there's prizes for everybody. There's, as you said, there's restaurants, there's theater tickets, there's booze, there's usually the Everpot. You mentioned the Lucy baskets.
We got a great basket from Salon Cocolay in Lake Zurich this year.
Very nice.
They're a wonderful salon and spa. We have a nice price from it. So we got, yeah, you're right. It's all over the all across the board. There's something for everybody.
Now,
we have a pet basket.
Ooh.
And for people with dogs. dogs or just pet lovers in general. So there's something for everybody there.
Now, I got to ask, because we know the drummer from Libido Funk Circus, Dan, has a penchant for one prize that has usually been there, and that is the giant Rice Krispie.
The giant Rice Krispie treats will be back, compliments of my friend Retreater.
Very good.
And they will be back. And actually, we actually have extra Rice Krispie treats coming this year, so you'll have an even better shot of winning.
Very nice.
And this Rice Krispie treat's about the size of a truck tire. So.
Yeah, they're huge, and I know, Dan, as I said, the drummer from the band, Dan, won them a couple years, and I think he puts all his tickets into the Rice Krispie treats buckets. He really wants to win those Rice Krispie treats.
But the strange thing about Dan, he came to me after the first or second year, and he had this sullen look on his face. He says, you know, I got a call on my way in on my cell phone. He says, my sister just called me. My brother-in-law was just diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh.
So fortunately, from what I've heard, this was several years ago. He's doing well. But the event took on extra meaning for Dan.
Yeah.
So we appreciate him and the rest of the Libido Funk Circus coming out every year.
They are gonna rock everybody out of their seats. They're so much fun. I look forward to seeing them every year at the event. And again, it is Rockin' for a Cure. It's December 7th, which is a Thursday night. So listen, even if you stay out late, which you won't, because it ends about 10 o'clock, right? We don't keep people out till 2 or 3 in the morning. People can come out. They have a good time from 7 to about 10. You have a couple drinks, enjoy some food, bid on some great prizes, and listen to a wonderful band. All to help out the Dad's Chapter of the Leukemia Research Foundation to raise money to help research cures for all blood cancers. And that is the website, allbloodcancers.org, if you want to get more information on Rockin' for a Cure and buy your tickets there. Or you can visit their Facebook page. It's Rockin' LRF at Facebook. Rockin' LRF at Facebook. I'll be there emceeing the whole thing, which is always an honor and a pleasure. So it's going to be a good time again, Andy. We got to get everybody out there.
It is. What do you call your legion of fans, Brian? Are they noonies, or what do we call them?
Non-existent. I don't know. I don't think they don't organize. My people like to stay off the grid. It's kind of like the ancient Catholics in the catacombs. They don't want to come out yet, lest they be identified.
Well, if they do come out, they can visit with you one-on-one.
Oh, sure.
Because you're very accessible. You're right there talking to everybody and having a good time. So, everybody, if you want to just hang out with Brian for a couple hours, this is the place to do it.
Sure, and we'll maybe, listen, maybe, Andy, we get somebody from the organization. You want to take a picture? It's $5. It all goes to the Dad's Chapter.
That would be great, Brian.
Sure.
What about a kissing booth? You want to set up one of those?
Kissing booth, sure. That's free, and that's out in my car afterwards. But we'll talk about that after. We don't want to create any sort of unpleasant environment for the festivities. Rockin' for a Cure, December 7th, 7 p.m. at Dirty Nelly's, 180 North Smith Street in Palatine. It is for a great cause. Allbloodcancers.org is the website, or on Facebook, Rockin' LRF. Andy, I will see you on December 7th.
We'll see you then, sir. Thank you again so much for everything.
It is my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. All right, so go and check that out. Hopefully I will see you out there. You will not be disappointed by the venue, by the band, by anything. And I rarely, rarely disappoint in public. I disappoint constantly in private. But in public, I tend to do all right. I know we should break. I know. That's what I was leading up to. I was leading up to this, and then we'll talk about why I can barely walk. All right, listen, I'm having conversations with people on Michigan Avenue. I don't have time to get back to my program. Morning jock from Prescott, Arizona, Cody, out on Michigan Avenue. Young lady. She's, I don't know what kind of station. She's wandered away. I always like to talk to a brother and or sister in sound. Who is it you, ma'am?
Yes.
What is your name?
Lisa Live and Local from Prescott, Arizona.
Lisa Live and Local. Is that what your parents named you?
Absolutely.
Mr. and Mrs. Live and Local.
Absolutely.
Gave birth to their lovely daughter, Lisa. Very nice. In Prescott, Arizona.
Yes.
And
what is it?
I've been to Arizona, sure. Prescott is where? Near?
We're up north.
Sure.
We're about an hour and a half from Phoenix, sure. And we're cool. We're a mile high.
Oh, very nice. And what brings you to Chicago? Just a Thanksgiving holiday?
Thanksgiving holiday, visiting friends and catching some good hockey.
Very nice. So what kind of format do you do there?
We do hot AC.
Hot AC. Explain that to the non-industry folks. What does that mean?
Well, it's top 40. That's been around a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are the morning, are you part of a team?
Yes. It's Lisa Live with more Ron in the morning.
With more Ron?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cody, I need to come up with a name like that for you.
You are not calling me Moron.
I am Bissell. That's what we're going to call you. I am Bissell. So how does Moron come up with that name, or did some consultant come in and say, listen, Lisa, we got to put Moron on with you?
Well, here's the thing, is that he used to be on just on Fridays, and then we pulled
sure.
him full time, so you had Ron, and now you get Moron.
Well, you get Moron.
See how that works?
I do see how that works.
It's genius.
It is genius. Now, when do you go? Are you you're not going back on the air tomorrow? What yeah. is Moron by himself?
Yeah, he'll be by himself.
Moron in the mornings?
Moron that, by himself in the
I'm going to tell you, that does not instill confidence. If I'm a PD and I'm a moron in the mornings, I'm going to go, well, our target audience must be just I am Bissell and all his friends. That doesn't sound like it'll be a very smooth transition.
It will not be. I guarantee it.
Is this a power play on your part to try to get a contract extension by saying, listen, if Lisa Live and Local isn't here, you got Moron in the morning, and that's not going to work out well?
Again, genius.
Yes, I think it's a very, very good plan. Well, enjoy the rest of your stay
Thank
here.
You.
I always enjoy talking to other broadcast professionals in
you.
Hopes that I will someday be one. So
well,
enjoy.
You.
You're very welcome. That's Lisa Live and Local. What do you think about that, I am?
I'm not responding to that.
You are going to respond to that.
I'm not. I'm independently informing you that I'm not.
What if management told me to call you Moron? I can't imagine. That is, oh, my goodness.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't. But that's, see, people go, oh, that's what radio is. A lot of places. She seemed very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Prescott, Arizona. That'd be a nice place to live.
I used to work at a hot AC station. That's where I got the name Producer Cody.
Oh, really?
I was...
What hot AC station were you working at?
Star 102.5 in Des Moines.
Really?
Yeah. I was a promotions intern, and they asked me to do some bit on air, because it was Big Ken and Colleen in the morning.
Oh, sure. Big Ken and Colleen.
Yeah, Big Ken and Colleen. Well, Producer Kurt was their guy. And so for a bit they wanted to do, they had me come in, and they were saying that they were going to fire Producer Kurt, get rid of him, and then have this new guy, Cody, come in. So when they said, hey, we've got Cody in here, I said, you can call me Producer Cody. And that's the first time I ever used it.
Wow.
And the segment almost backfired, because they were like, well, let the listeners decide who's going to stay on the show. And the first who said that they would rather have me?
Oh, no.
Look at me, and they're like, uh-oh, this might not go the right way.
Yeah, this is backfiring horribly.
But fortunately,
we didn't really think we were going to fire Producer...
Producer Kurt, yeah.
Producer Kurt.
Yeah, fortunately, they decided to keep him, and then you got stuck with me.
Well, listen, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I am Bissell. What do we call Roger now? Roger needs a nickname, too. Everybody on the show needs some crazy nickname.
Yeah.
And then I need something. I just can't be my own name. Or, you know.
Grand Poobah is what you usually refer to yourself Poobah. As.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go Grand Poobah. Yeah, man. How do you see?
If you want to give me a crazy nickname, I might accept it, but I will only refer to myself in the third person.
Oh, then you would have to.
That's
sure.
what'll happen.
Can you imagine waking up in Prescott, Arizona tomorrow morning and go, I can't wait to hear Lisa after my Thanksgiving holiday. I want to hear how her day went. And then you're more out of the morning.
Oh, no. There was
Lisa Live and Local
in Des Moines on a bunch of radio stations.
I don't want to break bad on her, because she might. But if you can't use your last name, that's just another sign that corporate radio can replace you at a minute. If you're not your own name, if I'm just, hey, it's Bob in the nighttime. Anybody can be Bob in the nighttime.
They've done that before.
I know they
yeah.
have. Listen to any music station anywhere in the world, and anytime you hear somebody just use one name, I'm Slash. Uh-oh. No, you're not. You're just Guy playing the part of Slash until we can find somebody who'll work for less.
Well, exactly. Then and use the same name.
And of course. They just, yeah. It's like, here's the sport coat. Put it on. It's like right. You're getting a job at Walmart. Put on the smock and go to work. Here, mm-hmm. you're Slash. Here, you're Jamie Steele. Here, you're Bobby Rocks. It's like, what? Yeah. No. No.
I mean, Avril Lavigne is dead.
What?
You heard that conspiracy theory, right?
The How conspiracy... does that tie into anything about what we were talking
because
about?
Because you're talking about replacing people. There's a conspiracy theory that Avril Lavigne died like 15 years ago and was replaced by a body double.
Okay.
It's the Avril Lavigne is dead conspiracy theory.
It's like the same theory with Paul McCartney.
It's like a flat earth conspiracy. Like, no, this is a legitimate thing that became really big in the last year. So, yeah, it extends far beyond the radio industry.
Oh, yeah, people don't
You know what else probably happens? The mattress industry.
It does not apply to the mattress.
Yeah, mattress salesmen, you just kill them and replace them with another one.
They just keep coming.
And then they tell you to buy a new mattress every 7 years.
Well, you know why they have all those mattress stores on the corners now? They know people aren't walking by and buying mattresses. But they open all these stores so that when you do need a mattress, you're going to immediately associate mattress with the store that you've been walking by for 2 years, even though you never needed a mattress. Till you decide to buy one, then you go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to XYZ Mattress because I see them on the corner every day. They must be reputable. They've been there forever.
There's a stretch of Skokie Boulevard. It's about a two-block stretch.
All right.
There are six mattress stores.
That seems like five too many.
Yeah. Seems like six too many.
Well,
because there's a few more down, a couple of blocks down.
And then you can buy mattresses at all major department stores, most furniture stores.
Online?
You can buy. I'm not going to buy a mattress online. I need to lay on the mattress.
Did you see the commercials for the one now where they ship it to you rolled up
in a box,
deflated, and you unroll it and somehow it inflates?
Yeah.
But it's a regular mattress. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But I need to lay on it. Like, yeah, even they had some. We were at Sam's a month or so ago, and Debbie's like, you know, we need a mattress one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but I can't lay on it at Sam's. I need to go into a showroom and lay down.
Yeah.
All right, listen, after 7, maybe we'll get into some of the stuff on the legal pad. We start talking to Lee's Alive and Local and Cody's disgusting sleep habits, and the first hour of the show is over. So now we do this, and then it's news time. This is, and I will repeat this because there's been some confusion. While this is our last live terrestrial radio show of 2017,
mm-hmm.
It is not, as far as we know, our final show.
You mean like final?
Right. But in this business, you never know when that final show is happening.
That's true.
Until it happens.
And this is the season finale, not the series finale.
Again, as far as we know. But, right. As we always do when we are off, every Sunday night at 6, you will get a brand new podcast at WGNRadio.com with all new content, all new ramblings, all new hilarity, featuring Cody, myself, Cody, sometimes Roger, maybe Karen for an end-of-the-year celebration. You never know what will pop up on the podcast, but the nice thing is you can still listen to us on Sundays or whenever. You can always listen because the podcasts are always at WGNRadio.com of the shows that we do, and then the podcast for shows that we are preempted because of a Blackhawks hockey or basketball or whatever. So those will start next week. So every Sunday, Cody will remind you on Facebook and Twitter, and then you can go on WGNRadio.com. And people go, well, what if we don't have a computer? Well, it's 2017, almost 2018. Pretty much everybody has a computer.
Not only that, you could do it with the app on your phone, on your smartphone.
Sure, the WGN Radio app.
Sure.
We got one of those, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's apps for everything.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways that you can listen to the podcast, and that's how we can stay in touch with you, and you can listen to us. And just to clarify a point from our conversation at the end of the last hour about the mattresses that come in a box, somebody said they're memory foam. That's why they can fold them up in a box, and they said they're pretty awesome. I know there's a couple different companies that do that, and I always wondered, too. So the memory foam, then it just expands like a, you know, well, like anything that's foam that you compress, and you open it up, and then bam, there's your mattress. And you're ready to go.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, again, now I know a buddy of mine bought one of those memory foam mattresses years and years ago and never laid on it. Am I the only one? Except for, we can't count Cody, because Cody will sleep on anybody's mattress, as we learned in the first hour. I wouldn't want to, it's like a car. I'm not going to buy a car without test driving it.
Yeah.
It's the same as a mattress. I got to lay down. I got to roll around.
Yeah.
Usually I get yelled at because I'm not wearing pants, but how else am I going to know what it feels like on my legs?
Exactly.
You know?
You know, we tried.
I don't sleep in clothes.
Right after I got back from surgery, and we needed a new mattress.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to have one that would help me get up out of bed because, you know, I was still in pain from the surgery.
Oh, sure.
I needed to move around.
Yeah.
You know, you lose a few body parts, you don't move the same way.
Exactly.
So we got one of the ones that electronically go up and down.
Oh, the adjustable frame?
Yeah. Well, it's not the whole thing. It's just the head. part.
Okay.
You know, there's some where you can move the leg like a hospital bed.
Yeah.
So we got the one with the head, and we went to one of the 20,000 that are in Skokie, bed
stores. Sure, along that 2-mile stretch.
right.
And, you know, Mattress Street.
Mattress Street is right.
Mattress Street.
You pull
in
up alongside, and instead of parking meters, they have mattresses.
Right.
So we tried one, and we tried a bunch of them in the store, and it was like the Three Bears. No, this one's too hard. This one's too soft. I don't, you know, this one's too high. This one's too low. I didn't have one as high as Cody's.
Do you have a used one?
No.
Okay. So let's cut to the chase.
We bought one, and because it felt great when I tried it in the store. We got it delivered, the house, everything's fine. And, of course, this is weird because Bridget didn't like it. And we put it in and we tried it. And after about 5 nights, I couldn't stand it.
Nice.
Bridget loved it.
So you kept it? Or did you take it back?
Yeah, of course we got it. Of course we still got it.
I don't know.
But now I sleep in the recliner. And there's a reason for that because
sure.
I used to sleep on my right side all the time. But since that's where the parts are missing, it doesn't feel the same way.
I got to tell you, Cody, sometimes people will say that I share too many intimate details of my life. And then I just, I always just play a tape like this for them. Now we know that Roger does not sleep on his right side anymore. He sleeps in the recliner. He can't
sleep
on his right
side. Back.
Sure, you got to sleep on your back.
I
understand. It's at least you found a comfortable place to get some slumber.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. And Bridget's got the whole bed to herself now.
Speaking of buying online, tomorrow is Cyber Monday. How'd you like that, Cody? I wrestled that from the jaws of ruination.
That was a wonderful transition.
Thank you. I know you're...
I'm thankful for it.
Oh, especially on Thanksgiving.
Even though Thanksgiving is over.
No, the weekend is still... The spirit of thankfulness should be prevalent all year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. Learned from Moron in the Morning over at Magic 99.1 in Prescott, Arizona. What are you holding up, Roger?
Your turkey.
It's a cookie.
It's your turkey cookie. So it's still Thanksgiving.
All right. Anyway, tomorrow's Cyber Monday. Only half of consumers report that they think they can tell which websites are safe for online shopping. And 35% of Americans claim they have stopped an online purchase out of security fears. That's according to Global Cybersecurity Alliance and Zogby Analytics, a new survey. I've never stopped a purchase because, well, no. I guess there have been sites that I looked at and I went, this looks a little too, this doesn't look right. It looks fishy. So I bailed on it. Now, you do pretty much all your shopping online, don't you? You don't like brick-and-mortar stores.
A lot of it. I like brick-and-mortar stores.
But you enjoy
them. My entire adult life, I've never been able to walk into a store and go clothes shopping because my measurements don't exist in a store. this is an actual thing. I can't go shopping for clothes. If I go to, I used to buy my dress pants at Express. I would have to go in, try them on with a certain, and figure out what waist I need, and then order online to get the length that I need. So to me, stores are dead anyway.
For clothing, I have to do a lot of, long sleeve shopping because it's talls and stuff. So yes, I agree with you. But do you know how to tell if a site is safe? Because you do a lot of online shopping. Have you ever been duped by some shifty website?
I've never been duped. I've stopped mid purchase a couple times. It's a lot of the Chinese ones popping up, really.
Yeah.
Like even with Alibaba, you go on there and sometimes there's a product.
I'm not
page
familiar with Alibaba.
Alibaba is like the Chinese Amazon, basically.
It's
a huge company, like billions and billions of
dollars.
You
don't like the American Amazon?
I like the American Amazon, but there's some stuff you can get on Alibaba either cheaper or that you can't get here is readily available. But again, sometimes I go on there and I go to check out and I'm like, it's just going to get here in 4 months on some cargo flavor and not be really a brand name. I just don't know.
Well, there's all those, there's always reports, especially around the holidays, of people who want to buy like hockey sweaters. You know, you want to buy a Blackhawks sweater and you're like, oh, I could go to the Blackhawks store and buy an official one from the NHL, and it's all licensed, and that's great. Or I could go to the NHL website and pick my favorite team and buy a sweater. But look at this. I just found one online for $35, and it says it's all embroidered and everything. And then Kane is spelled with K-A-I-N-E, and it comes, and it's, you know, they've even gotten to the point where they've got the hologram, so it looks like an officially licensed thing. But then you get it, and you're like, well, the Indian head doesn't, you know, he's not wearing glasses on the real one. This something is off because you've gone to some crazy website because we all have dollar signs in our eyes and we think, oh, if I can save $12, it's worth it. I'm always, you know. So, let's see. Fake websites are launched during the holidays. They say more fake websites are launched this time of year to get people's money. Shoppers need to beware. Most people are, they say, brands that are likely to have the most phishing attempts this year are Amazon, Walmart, and Target, according to the anti-phishing workshop group or working group.
Hmm.
So be very careful and be looking for slight misspellings in the websites, you know, and always make sure your website begins with an HTTPS, which means secure.
And not just the spelling, but the sentence structure.
Right. Oh, yeah, if you're looking, you know, there's if there's a lot of grammatical mistakes,
mm-hmm.
I immediately say this is not a real company.
Yeah.
This girl really doesn't want to be my friend. Send me pictures. I believe this is all fake. All of it is completely fake. 77% of Americans reported they had mistyped an address in their browser and ended up at a different site than they intended. And sometimes if you do that at work, that could be really, really bad.
Pretty damaging.
Yeah. 68% have clicked on a link in an email that has taken them somewhere else than expected. At this point in time, if you click on an unsolicited email link, I got to say you're not the brightest bulb on the marquee. Because this is a nonstop thing. I've gotten ones, and one of my friends must have been hacked, because I keep getting emails from him saying, hey, you'll be interested in this, with no salutation, or, and then it's just a link, and I'm like, no, no, no. Get all these, hey, check this out. No, no. I would rather delete one useful email and then have like you call me and go, hey, didn't you get that email I sent you? Oh, I must have deleted it. Then go, oh, Cody wants me to be interested in this. Click. And then all of a sudden, you know, the gates of hell have opened on my computer and spam is just rolling in like it's a Hawaiian luau. They're just too much stuff going on. Only 13% reported changing DNS settings on their computer and 11% on their wireless router. So, according to a professor at the Department of Computer Science at Virginia Tech, avoid clicking on links that have been emailed to you. Yes, we talked about that. Browsing on sites with HTTPS, not HTTP, is safer since criminals can monitor network traffic on HTTP sites and lift credit card information. Shopping on mobile devices, because I know you like to use your phone. I do not. I can't shop on my phone because it's too small and my thumbs are too big.
Mm.
If I see something I like, I will just wait till I get home to my desktop, where I can shop without my pants. That's I like to. If I'm spending money, I don't want to be constricted by a belt. I don't know why. It's just my weird thing. So it's riskier to do that than on a computer, since URL bars are smaller and reading whether they are shortened or legitimate might not be possible. So I'm wondering if you're getting ready for Cyber Monday. Is there something you've been saving up? Because I've got a little information, just real quick, and I'll tell you about what the best buys tomorrow will be on. So I will share that with you on the other side. There's a tease for you. Yeah, what do you think of that, Cody? It's WGN. We're talking about Cyber Monday. Do you plan on doing a lot of cyber shopping tomorrow, Cody the G?
I do not.
I
did on my Friday, shopping on Black Friday.
Did you do it online or in-store?
Online, but I feel like, come on, Amazon's not going to have that much better deals on Cyber Monday week than is it on Black Friday week. What's the difference? They don't care.
Black Friday actually started last Monday.
They don't have brick-and-mortar stores. I mean, they got like a couple, but 99.9% of their business is online anyway, so it's the same to them, same to me.
Yeah, you just keep going. I bought two gifts on actually Thanksgiving Day. Online when I was here before, you know, as I was prepping for the big show, I also did a couple purchases because they started all the Black Friday sales so early. It was like, hey, you can buy this online and here's the price. And I was like, that's a great price, because I knew the original price of this item, so I knew how much I was saving. I was like, that's a great deal. I'm probably not going to find a better price. Knock it down. Let's go. Couple gifts out of the way.
Did you go shopping on Small Business Saturday?
Well, let me think.
Yesterday?
What did I do yesterday? I went to a couple small businesses yesterday.
There you go.
Both to eat. One for breakfast. We went, I turkey trotted yesterday. Let me finish this, because I told you what the best thing is tomorrow. Only because I don't want to lie about the tease. Tomorrow, supposedly on Cyber Monday, is the best day to buy toys. So toys are tomorrow. And now they, because they said, according to this article, that Black Friday was the best day to buy certain things. I've lost the page. But tomorrow is the day to buy toys. And a good way to save on, save money and to make sure you are getting the best deals, you can install some free browser extensions. That way you'll get coupon codes coming down. You can do the plugins on Chrome, Safari, and Firefox. Use free price trackers like CamelCamelCamel.com, ShopSavvy.com, or Ebates.com. You can track sales if you go on to GotADeal.com. They have a Black Friday deal tracker, so you can do all of those things. And if you want to save more on Amazon, sign up for Amazon Prime. Are you a Prime member? I'm sure you're a Prime member.
Oh, of course, yeah.
My wife is a Prime member, so she does all that. And here's the scam-a-lama if you want to game the system. Right now, sign up for their free 30-day trial of Prime. That's the way to do it. So then you can decide. It's only, it's what, $99 a year, but you get free two-day shipping on anything over $25. If you shop on Amazon a lot, it's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And even if not, sign up for a free 30-day trial, and then you can see if you like it. And you know what's in 30 days? Christmas will be done in 30 days.
I can also vouch for CamelCamelCamel.com.
Does it work?
Yeah, you put in a price product from Amazon. It tells you the historical history for new and used.
The historical history?
Yeah, so it'll tell you, like, the price history. It'll tell you something like, okay, the lowest price it's ever been for this pair of headphones is $32. Right now it's $40. The average is, like, $43.
Okay.
And then you can get an email when it goes below a certain thing. I even had it set up on Twitter so it would tweet at me and send me an email. So I've gotten a couple things really cheap that
nice.
Way.
Nice. And that's only for Amazon, though, right?
That's for Amazon, but yeah, it's a great Amazon price tracker. Yeah.
Camel, Camel, Camel. So try that one. ShopSavvy.com is an app, and you can scan the product bar. If you're at a brick and mortar, you scan the code, and then it'll tell you, hey, you can get this cheaper at this store. Here's what it's for sale at all these different stores. And if you don't mind running around, then you could do it that way. So there's a lot of different ways. Free delivery has got to be the key. Two of the things I ordered had free delivery. Then I went to order something else, and I was ordering an ugly Christmas sweater for myself because I have a couple of events coming up that I need an ugly Christmas sweater. And I found one, really good deal, and it was at Kohl's online because they had talls. So I ordered this one. It's on sale, but then there was an extra discount. Well, that took me under the cap for free delivery. So now delivery was going to be $9. I'm like, what are you, nuts? I have $9 on a sweater that after the sale was costing me $30. That seems ridiculous. So what did I do? Ha-ha. Because there's a Kohl's about 3 minutes from my house. I ordered two sizes of the sweater because I don't know what size I'll need. Boom, I'm over the free delivery. I'm going to get the two sweaters, try it on, keep the one that fits, return the other one to my store. Did I game the system? Maybe. Maybe. But also, this time of year, if you're not getting free delivery, don't order. Because everybody's offering free delivery.
Yeah.
If a store's not offering you free delivery, trust me, go online. You'll find that item at another store. You know, whether it's free delivery to the store, and then you can go and just get pick the stuff up there if that's convenient for you, or have it delivered. And, again, try to have your packages delivered somewhere where they're going to be secure so I don't need to see your porch on the nightly news when your Nest video doorbell catches somebody stealing your package, which is horrible. But try to have your package delivered somewhere secure, because that's got to be the worst. You know, thank God it's never happened to me, thank goodness. But I can only imagine the horror if you've banked all your Christmas on this and you've ordered a couple things and they come to your house and you expect, hey, this is great. And there's a special level of hell for somebody who's going to steal somebody else's Christmas presents. But, you know, there's some tips for you. I never got to the turkey trot. We'll talk about that at some point because I can barely stand up. That's why I haven't gotten up to go to the bathroom. I just have a Gatorade bottle.
Wow.
Yeah, because my legs hurt me so bad. All right, we got to do this. We got to do this. Really? All right, we'll do this. Then it's news time. I did tell somebody, as I said, John texted in and said, hey, didn't you promise to tell us why you can't walk? And I will. I also realized that during the news, I didn't know this before, the camera stays on the WGNradio.com site.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see whatever I'm doing when Roger's doing the news, you can watch, which is frightening. I've never actually looked at that because I don't want to see myself on camera.
You're not picking your nose or anything, are you?
Who knows? I usually blow my nose at some point, you know. I was throwing things away. I'm tugging at things, my shirt or whatever. I don't. I'm going to have to pull a Brandmeier and just put things over the camera so nobody can see me.
Why do people tune in anyway during your show on the internet? They want to see you.
Do they?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You have a face.
Especially not today, because, man, it took me the entire newscast to get to and from the bathroom. Because yesterday, I did a 5K.
I saw your picture with
turkey
the turkeys.
Trotting. Yeah. Yes, we turkey trotted yesterday. And I'm not a runner. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I also have not been able to work out in the last month because of my surgery.
That's right.
So I am in a weakened condition. I am not at my peak physical form,
mm-hmm.
you know, which Adonis-like, I think is how it's been described a lot of times.
Sure.
Now this last month, I've become just doughy and soft
mm-hmm.
like I used to, you know, back in the day. So my wife, for some reason, my wife also not a runner. Lovely woman, not a runner. Enjoys doing 5Ks, but only 5Ks where they give you a medal. And she doesn't run them. She'll run a little and she walks, which is fine. A lot of people do that. They do these because these are not, we're not entering these to be competitive. I know.
You're not looking for a personal best time.
Well, I'm looking for a personal best, but I know it's not going to be the personal best of the people who are at the front of the pack.
I gotcha. Okay.
I'm not one of these people who, where I'm just finishing mile one, these people are finished.
Yeah.
You know, they're done in 17 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, good. I've just done a mile and a half in 17 minutes.
And my personal best is just to finish.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Just cross the line.
That's what it should be. You're racing yourself.
You're not there for a specific reason, because you were raising funds. Weren't they raising funds
I don't know. I don't know the politics involved. I know that my wife was like, I want to do the turkey trot the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And she asked our daughter, who went, she didn't want to get up early and do the turkey trot, but she acquiesced. And I, because I haven't done one in a couple of years with my, I did a few with my wife, and then she got nutty about wanting to do them all for mm-hmm. these medals. And asked me what happens to the medals. Go ahead, ask me.
Brian, what happens to those medals that they give you after you're done running one of these marathons?
Well, they go in her drawer, obviously. She has a drawer for a medal. She's not like Mark Spitz. She doesn't wear them out. She'll wear them the morning of the race, like when we went to breakfast yesterday, she wore it. But then they just go in a drawer, but you know what? I'm all for it. If that's what she likes to do, mm-hmm. I'm a big supporter. Okay. And I've said, like, I couldn't do them for a while because my knee is so bad,
mm-hmm.
but she went along. But this time I said, you know what? I had some shots in my knee because I have no cushioning in my left knee. It's just bone on bone. So it's hard to... I'm not running ever. But I said, all right, you know what? I'll do it. It'll be nice, right? The whole family will do it. The three
of
us. We'll get up early.
Yeah.
It'll be beautiful. We'll go down along the lake. We'll do a 5K. They have beer at the end, which is a bonus. Because I'm only doing... Like, my wife will only do ones that have medals. I only do ones that have a beer at the end. We all have our fitness goals. Mine is to try to get my personal best is from the time they say go to the time I'm drinking that beer.
There you go.
That's how we count it out. Yes, I may have finished in 42 minutes, uh-huh. but then it took me 10 more minutes to get to the beer. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
I need to cross the line at 42. I need to be drinking at 48. Or less.
You didn't have to do the whole 5K. You only had to do from the beginning to when the beer started flowing.
Well, trust me. There were a number of points where I could have squatted down to tie my shoe and just suddenly gone a different direction. But I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not a cheater. So I finished. But the problem is, like I said, I haven't been able to work out. So this week I walked. I took the dogs for a bunch of walks, trying to get at least a little bit back into the routine.
Right.
I need to talk to a runner about shin splints, because that's what's hurting. Well, today my shins and my thighs, so I can barely move. But because I tried to run a little, which was dumb. I made it about a block, and then my knee kind of popped, and I went, all right, I can't run. But I walk very, very fast. To the point where Molly was having trouble keeping up with my walking pace because she was like, you're walking faster than some people are running. And I do. I mean, I go
long legs
and I just walk fast.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I said, if I can keep up this walking pace the whole time,
mm-hmm.
then good for me. And I was passing people and some people would run past me, but then I'd keep walking at my, it was like Tortoise and the Hare.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept going at my pace, and I was passing some of the other people. And there were people in costume, and we had on big turkey hats, and we were having a good time. So, but today, I woke up and I thought, oh, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And as the day went on, I got gimpier and gimpier.
Mm.
To the point now where walking to the bathroom's only, what, 20 feet from the
Not
studio?
Not even that.
Not
yeah.
even. Oh, my goodness. I look like, you know, I'm just a hobbled old man. Jeez. And you know what? You know the best part of this whole thing is?
What?
We're doing another one Saturday.
No.
Yes.
Oh, another 5K?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
we're doing the Santa Hustle. Because you know why?
Oh,
this
I...
year they're giving a medal. So
you got to go. Wait, do they have beer?
They better have something.
Alcoholic beverages at the end?
I don't know. I might have a flask in my Santa beard.
Bring your own.
No,
man.
I'm sure. I think yes. I believe most of them now do. Most of them now do have a beer.
Okay.
At the end, but my, you know, she was going to do it by herself,
right?
And I was like, oh, she's done a couple by herself, and I was like, you know what? Not realizing the proximity of the two races, I said I would go. And then yesterday, she had the audacity after it was all done to go, I'm really glad you came with me today. And I was like, no, I can't cancel next Sunday or Saturday. Now I got to hustle with Santa. So I trotted with a turkey, and now I got to hustle with Santa.
Yeah.
And by thank goodness, Cody, that we're only dropping the new podcast next week, because I would be in here on like a Hannibal Lecter cart. You would have to wheel me down from upstairs, just prop me in front of the microphone, and because I think my jaw will still work, which is, sad news to a lot of people. But my legs will probably not.
Well, we still have a wheelchair, Bridget's wheelchair in storage. I can bring that for you.
That might help.
This explains the reason I stopped running.
Yes, I don't know what they are technically, but I know my shins hurt.
I mean, I ran cross country in high school, and shin splints you typically get more when you're on things like asphalt, pavement, concrete,
yes,
stuff like that.
That's where I walk, asphalt, pavement, and concrete, my three main surfaces.
Yeah.
But aren't you supposed to have, like, special shoes to cushion all that?
I don't know. I have, like, I have running shoes. You know, they're like all-terrain running shoes.
Well, they should have some. I don't do any running anymore.
I don't run. I fast walk.
Yeah,
and
right.
But I don't do the jiggle. I don't swing my back end and do the turkey, do the chicken arms.
You don't,
I don't do
the,
that. I don't
the
race
marathon
walk.
Walking.
Right.
Do.
But I would put myself up against some of those walkers.
I'm surprised you got the shin splints without
the what?
Running.
Careful.
Hello.
Again, I walk really fast.
Do you have a brace for the knee?
I do, but it's not. Yeah, I did wear a brace, but it's the fact that there's no cushioning.
It's still going to hurt no matter what.
Well, it's fine because, like I said, I got every 3 months I go and get an injection that they just pump some stuff in there.
Right. My dad used to get that for several decades.
Yeah. But so that's fine. But it was so walking is not an issue. Even really fast walking is not an issue on the knee. It's just running. It's too much impact.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. And I said this yesterday. God bless you if you're a runner. I saw a lot of people running really fast. They were in shape. They all looked hungry and sad. But they were really enjoying themselves, and I've got nothing against that. But unless somebody is chasing me or I'm trying to save somebody's life, I don't get it. I just don't. Now, you used to run cross-country, Cody, and I'm guessing there were no bears or cougars chasing you. You know, you're running through the woods. Maybe there's a squirrel that gets in your way. But what's the allure?
I don't know.
Of course.
I honestly didn't even know as I would run it. I mean, I would just look at my friends when we were running around and be like, why are we doing this?
Why are we running?
I have no idea.
And people look happy when they're done running.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people look happy while they're running. I looked at the faces of the people who were running, and they were very intense, but they looked miserable.
Yeah.
But then they're euphoric when they're done. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, because you're not running anymore. That's why you're so happy. I was happy sitting in the chair. I had that same look just having breakfast. I didn't have to run 3.1 miles to get that look. I sat down, had a bowl of yogurt and a cup of coffee, and I was like, man, this day is made.
I think it's just generally exercise, how the body feels after you've oxygenated your blood and you've gotten things moving inside and how the body can feel after that.
I do feel good after exercising.
Yeah.
But again,
same kind of feeling, but you exercise in a way that you're not going to feel like your legs are going to fall off, right?
So, I mean, well, on leg day, you know, right, Cody? When we lift, leg day, that's all. You're always sore on leg day.
I love leg day.
Leg day's a good day.
A lot of people skip leg day, and I judge them.
That's a mistake.
I judge them so hard.
Yeah, why would you want a big beefed-up upper torso and then little skinny bird legs? You got to squat at some point.
Tanks on stilts.
Yeah, that's not good.
I see them in Lakeview all the time, all these bros, and they're like, oh, look how big my biceps are. Look how big my pecs are. Well, yeah, you look like you got chicken legs.
Yeah, summer comes and you put on shorts and it's like, ah-ha.
It's embarrassing.
What, you got avian bone syndrome down there, skinny legs? No, you gotta work it all.
I love leg day. It's the most efficient one because you do a bunch of squats, maybe you do some deadlifts, and you're done.
Yeah.
You're out of there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's some calves. You got to do some calf work.
Yeah, you can hit some isolation exercises
sure.
too. But really, if you're doing squats and deadlifts, you're pretty much done.
Yeah,
for the day.
Somebody texted in. My friend who ran a marathon said the first half it was the best he's ever felt, and the second was the worst he's ever felt. Yeah,
I've got a couple of former students who travel all over the world doing marathons.
I don't get it. One of my brothers does. We used to do triathlons, and now he still does some marathoning and runs in all kinds of races. Mm-hmm. And he runs them. Like, if I went to a 5K with him, mm-hmm. he'd be done in the car, home, and asleep, and I'd just be finishing.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's a runner, and I never get it. Then I have another brother who did a marathon once and swore up and down that he would never do it again.
He's like, disgusting.
Nope, I did it once. That was it. Christy, my old producer, remember Christy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's now a big marathoner. And I remember when she was just starting. Now she loves it. Oh, she loves it.
Wow.
Running all the time.
Mm. Yeah, marathons, no. I mean, I would run a couple miles here or there, but that never appealed to me.
Nah, I don't know. But good for you. So that's why, John, that's why I'm so sore, because I love my wife. Right?
Blaming it on
that's
her,
how
right?
We bother, that's how we bring it all, put a bow around it for the holiday season. I can't walk because I love my wife. And how much do I love her? By next Sunday, I'll be completely immobile. I can hardly wait. But I'll do it in a Santa hat, and there may or may not be a beer at the end. So, you know, everything's
dandy. Good.
It's all good in the hood. That's what they say. All right, I got way too emotional today. When was the last time emotions just snuck up on you and you were like, what the heck just happened? Why am I blubbering? We'll talk about it on the other side. 312-981-7200. Why? Because that's what we do on WGN. In case you are wondering, and people who have been looking at the Facebook page and reading the whiteboard, which Cody works so hard on every week, are panicking, this is our last show of 2017. It is not our last show ever, we think. But again, it's radio, so you never know. But we plan on being here in 2018, but you know, this is the time of year where the Blackhawks play a lot of Sunday night games, so we will be off all of December and some in January because of Blackhawks games. But have no fear, we will be posting brand new podcasts every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So when you normally tune in to listen to the show, you can just go to WGNradio.com. You can listen to the Blackhawks game, and after the game, you can listen to new content from us. Or, you know, you can listen between periods at the intermission if you're not listening to Pat Boyle. But you should listen to Pat because he does a great job. Right? Roger,
yes.
Doesn't he do a great job? Sure.
Yeah.
Roger doesn't know. He's leader.
You don't need us to verify
TV.
That.
Pat Boyle, TV.
Oh, no, yeah. Who's doing Chris Bowden?
Chris Bowden
is our guy.
Yeah,
that's
why
what it is.
Kind of threw me for
yeah,
a second.
Yeah, it threw me, too. I'm sorry. It's still
right.
not hard to get used because I've listened to Chris and he does a great job,
right.
But I'm still so used to not. I'm focusing so hard on not saying Judd Surratt that I'm forgetting who to say. So it's Chris Bowden.
Yeah, Chris
so sorry,
Bowden.
Chris. So listen to Chris and then, you know, turn us on and listen to us. So there you go.
Now, are you doing a, as you did last year, which it was a pleasure.
Still in the planning stages.
Okay.
Still in the planning
right.
stages.
All
but
right.
yes, you will be notified.
Okay. Right. Sounds good.
Everything's
good.
We don't want to blow anything. But, yeah, there will be a holiday show.
Excellent.
Of some sort. So, yes.
Now, Hanukkah comes early this year. So.
Okay.
Yeah. A little early.
When? Tomorrow?
It's about 15 days.
So it starts when?
Middle of December.
All right. Well, we may be in the middle of it. We may be at the end.
Right.
Who knows? But anyway, so that's that. But it is the holidays. And today, I'm an emotional wreck anyway.
Yes.
I'm always on the razor's edge of complete psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, whatever. That's just how I am.
It's the truth, yeah.
People think I don't have emotions. I have them. They're just usually inappropriate. And most of the time shoved down and then replaced with the wrong emotion. Where I should show gratitude, I show disdain. When I should show joy, I show despair. You know how it is. So I know the difference. I just use them at the wrong time. So today, I'm getting ready to come to work. And I had done the outdoor decorating yesterday, and I finished it up today after a trip to American Sale. I couldn't believe it. Because even after the 5K, I came home and I went, well, it's such a gorgeous day. We don't have to take Molly to the airport till later. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the outdoor decorations, only to find out that my inflatable was broken.
No.
But that's neither here nor there. So we go to American Sale today. There have been some changes. We'll talk about it another time.
Okay.
But so we're sitting there eating lunch, and all of a sudden this commercial comes on. Now, I don't know what the commercial is for at first, but it's about a guy. Shows a guy who looks like Santa, right? Just some old guy with gray hair and a beard, and he looks like Santa. And everywhere he goes, kids see him, but the adults don't. Not because he's invisible, just because the adults aren't paying attention.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
He'll be at a grocery store, and the dad is tying the little girl's shoe, and she sees the guy, and she's like, ah! And then the dad is preoccupied. One of the kids is doing something else, and the mom is, and the kid sees her, but the mom doesn't. And so they go away. Then it all comes down to ending. A mom and a son are at the grocery store, and the kid gets a sample from the bakery, and it's a Christmas tree cookie. And lo and behold, there's the guy in the produce section, and he's buying, I don't know, produce. Why would Santa buy produce? Who knows? But he's coming down to the store. He's buying some produce.
Okay.
And the kid walks up and goes to offer him offers him the cookie, and the guy pats his stomach and goes, oh, no, thank you very much. And the mom is all apologetic. Oh, I'm sorry. He thinks you look like Santa, blah, 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 blah. So the mom is dragging the kid away, and the kid keeps looking back. And then the guy looks at the kid and winks. And the tagline, and the kid smiles, and it comes up, believe. And all of a sudden, I find myself tearing up.
Aww.
And it was for Meyer. It was the Meyer story. Said, believe. And then the next screen comes up. Believe we have all the things you need. And I don't know why the innocence of kids believing in Santa and, you know, the weirdness of Santa buying asparagus at Meijer all kind of coincided. And maybe it was because we just sent Molly back. Maybe it was because I had just done some Christmas, decorate. I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm just a basket case. But all of a sudden, I'm like tearing up. And I'm like, oh, my God, I need some sort of therapy because this isn't right. But we've all had those situations, right, where emotions just creep up on you and you don't know why. You don't know what it is. I'm not a slave to advertising for the most part. That commercial is not going to change my shopping habits probably. I will be on the lookout for guys who look like Santa because now I know he's down here and he's running around and he hangs out at Meijer. So I may go just to see if I can spot Santa.
Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing. Yeah. That was one of the things. A boy and a girl are arguing over their iPad, and the girl's like, "Mom said it was my turn." Mom said, and the big brother's being a jerk. And then he sees the guy, and he's like, "Oh, here you go." Busted. So it was a 30-second, maybe it was a 60. I don't know how long the commercial was, but it was just. It was just the belief of the kids.
You were emotionally involved.
I was
they
emotionally
did the
invested.
Trick.
I know, but I shouldn't be so simple. It shouldn't be so easy for me to be lured into their web.
If they're doing their job right, then it's easy. If the company has done the research correctly and analyzed it and tested it and all that other stuff, not everyone is going to be affected like you, but the majority of people will be. Because what have you done now in describing the story? You have mentioned the product.
Yeah.
At least twice now.
Well, sure.
And that's all they wanted
to
do.
All they wanted to do. I know they got me.
Yeah.
They got me.
A Super Bowl commercial, usually one or two a year will do that.
Yeah, where you'll get choked up. Yeah.
Well, how about remember the Mean Joe Green commercial?
Oh, sure,
Didn't you choke up a little bit when you saw that?
I don't know about that one. I mean, there have been others in the past. But again, I wasn't sobbing.
No, but just it caught in your throat.
It did. There were a couple. It was dusty in my kitchen too. Because we're bad at housekeeping.
I will say that I don't think it's an inappropriate time to cry because that's the intended result.
It was. They I don't know who the ad agency was that did it, but kudos to you. You got me. All right, you win. You win, corporate America. The advertising industrial complex that's trying to get Cody to buy a new mattress rather than a crack house mattress and trying to make me shop at a grocery store by making me cry. You think I'm going to go in there now and just know that I'll cry every time I go in there? That's not how I shop.
No, you're going in there looking for Santa.
Right. Well,
to bring his forgiveness.
But now I made forgiveness for what? I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy in public. I'm just a bad boy in my head where nobody can see. Except me and Santa. Think about that. From the 406, I was blubbering idiot when my daughter was born and then again when she got married. And when I found out my granddaughter is going to be born on my birthday. Those are three, perfect times to cry. If you don't cry on those 3 days, you don't have a soul. You know? So that's nothing wrong with that.
But you're looking for something in an unexpected situation.
Sure. And usually it's with the, it catches, you know, movies, sometimes you go in and maybe you didn't expect to be caught off guard. But commercials, no, because I know the crass commercialism. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm in the fake media.
You see a lot of live shows.
I do.
You're a theater.
I'm a thespian. I'm a patron of the arts.
You're a patron of the arts.
I'm a patron of the arts.
A lot of times for me, when it gets to the applause, especially a standing ovation, I'll just totally start to lose it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Even if it's not a particularly powerful show, just once the standing ovation happens, something happens.
I teared up a little at Hamilton. I don't usually with the. I don't think with. I understand that emotion though. I understand your emotion because it's every. You're giving everything then. You're emoting all your gratitude for the show. You're doing that. That makes
well,
a
not just
sense.
Gratitude, but it's that. It's what hit you from this commercial. It made you feel good in whatever manner. It brought up that emotion that feeling has been hit.
You know why I cried? Because I knew those kids' innocence was about to be dashed.
Oh,
I knew it wouldn't last forever. That's why I cried for the loss
so
of humanity.
Bad.
That's what I cried about. Oh, man. You know what I cried for? Because college kids don't have any perspective. So we're going to talk about that after 8 o'clock. But right now we'll do this, and it's news time. Real quick, before we go on to why college students have become the most touchy little group of whining babies in the world. We will do this. We were talking about emotions sneaking up on you. Most of the responses have been about commercials. Now, I know this commercial, the commercial where the little boy throws paper airplanes over the fence, and the old man, he's throwing them to his dad is away serving in one of the branches of the military.
Yeah, I remember that commercial.
I don't know what the product is for. I don't know what the commercial is, but I know the kid misses his dad. I'm pretty sure it's his dad. And he keeps throwing paper airplanes over the fence. And the old man who lives next to him, at first is like, paper airplanes on my yard. Blah, 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 blah. Then he reads them and he realizes, and then somehow he starts throwing paper airplanes back with messages. Do you know what that product is for? Do you know what that commercial is for?
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I don't either.
I remember it.
But I know it's very emotional.
Yeah,
so
extremely.
Got that one. Somebody else from the 847 Subaru commercials. The only Subaru commercial I remember is when they're looking at the car that's completely destroyed, and the cop is saying to the tow truck driver, "They lived." And it's
I remember.
The, Subaru.
Yeah.
But I think there's one where the kids take the Subaru. I don't know. So Subaru. And then they say there's an Oreo commercial. And normally I would laugh. But I don't know. Everybody's got a different trigger. You know, mine was the innocence of children believing in Santa Claus. I don't know what the Oreo commercial is, but for that person, that's what gets them. The Budweiser Clydesdale commercials. Yeah, that one always makes
at the
me
Christmas
crazy.
Time.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
How about the, if we're going back in time, the I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
No, I always thought
the old
was cheesy.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the original one.
I remember it.
Yeah,
I
love that one.
I did. That didn't get me. And any animal commercial says. So there you go. All right. Now, my daughter's in college. She's a very intelligent young woman. I love her very much. We all went to college.
Yeah.
We were, you know, as intelligent as we were going to be, and we did whatever it was that ended us up here. But I remember being in college, and Roger, you were in college before me and Cody. So we have three different generations of college people. We're talking about a fourth generation of college people who I don't believe bears really any resemblance to the three of us. I remember when I was in college, and maybe you were this way as well, college was supposed to be a place where you exposed yourself to a lot of different things. Some of those things you would agree with. Some of those things you would not agree with. Sometimes people would say something that, oh my gosh, might be outside of your belief system. And maybe you'd get mad. But that was okay. Because, you know, it's college and you're supposed to be exploring and learning different things. That does not seem to be the case anymore. Because it started a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember this. Jerry Seinfeld came out and said he doesn't play college campuses anymore because college kids are so easily offended by every little thing. And I've noticed that with my daughter. Everything seems to offend her. even when what you're saying does not offend. It's almost as if they're majoring in getting offended.
What?
Because everything is either racist or sexist or some sort of ist. And it's a young person thing now. Now, there are some things that you really need to stand up against.
True.
But it's gotten to the point now, and we see this all the time, and this is not a political discussion per se, but when students are trying to get universities to cancel a speaker that they don't agree with, that's
all
wrong.
Right.
You know, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. If you want to stand outside and protest while that person is inside
that's
speaking,
right.
I'm all for it. But to try to pressure an administration or for a university, public or private, but mostly public universities, for a university to say, you can't come because, you know, we booked you, but now we're starting to get a little static, and yeah, it's just going to be, and don't say, well, it's a safety issue. There's a lot of, you can get security. If you booked somebody who was going to be that much of a safety concern, why did you book them in the first place? But it has all come to what I believe is an unbelievable head now. Well, you were in college in, what, the 40s, Roger?
Yeah, it seems like the 40s.
You're
no,
in the
70s, early 70s,
right?
Yeah, 70 to
right,
74.
So 70s, that was a different time.
Yeah.
People, and especially at Southern, people
Vietnam War.
Sure, people were protesting, which is fine.
In fact, right before I got there, the protests shut down the college. This was back in 69-70, the 69 right school year. Towards the end, in early 70, towards the end, the riots in Carbondale shut down the college. They closed it early. When I went down to visit the campus just after that, dormitory windows were boarded up from top to bottom. The place was empty of people, and of course, being
and you still wanted to go there?
Well, I was naive, one, because I didn't know that had happened. They didn't bring it up. The campus people didn't
hey,
bring it up.
Everything's broken. Ah, we're just renovating.
Yeah. And two, I knew I wanted to go there no matter what because of the broadcasting
right,
program.
Right, right, right.
You know, so it was a done deal before I even got down there. We just went down as a formality to visit the campus.
Sure.
You know. But yeah, it was one of many campuses that I think had seen riots in that school year and had shut down.
Well, the reason I bring all this up, I saw an article the other day. Reed College is a small college, and some of their students got very, very offended. Cody, do you have that ready? Got very offended because their professor played this in class. Yes. He moved to Babylonia. He was born in Arizona, had a condo made of Stona, King Tut. Of course, that's Steve Martin from 1978. That was when that debuted on Saturday Night Live, and it was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And it was original. Steve Martin did it to point out the crazy commercialization and trivialization of the King Tut exhibit that was touring the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember going to see the King Tut exhibit, but everybody, it was, and there was all the merchandise, all this. So Steve Martin did this King Tut parody, and it was hilarious. And back in 1978, everybody thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 2017, some students at Reed College, the Reedies Against Racism, are saying that, well, they're calling the song a form of blackface. The video and song were brought to the students' attention when it was played in a humanities class to spur discussion. God forbid we spur discussion. We all need to be in an echo chamber.
Heaven
please
forbid.
Only say things that I agree with because your other thoughts scare me. Because you're questioning my entire belief system. My mom and dad told me this, and I read a couple memes on the internet, so now I know exactly what everything is. I have all the answers, and one of the answers is you're wrong about everything. So, students became so worked up over the video that they have demanded the course be made optional until alternative coursework can be created. The group primarily upset about the video being played in class now. Readies Against Racism is comparing this song to the use of the N-word. To the use of the N-word. They spoke with the Atlantic, and they said to get... They're trying to figure out why they're so upset. One of the members of Readies Against Racism told the magazine, "It's like somebody making a song just littered with the N-word everywhere." And then she said the gold face of the saxophone player leaving its tomb is an exhibition of blackface. Can we overreact a little more, please? Of course we don't see it. You know why we don't see it, Roger?
Why?
Because we're white men who are part of the establishment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why. Because we're old. We're the problem. Cody, not so much. He's still a white man, but he's younger, and he's probably more woke than we are. Are you more woke, Cody?
I'm a little more woke, but in about 10 years, I think I'll be in the old white guy category.
Okay.
So my opinions will no longer be valid.
Well, sure. I know my opinion's not valid. Just ask my wife and daughter.
Oh.
I understand. Good morning, everybody. Maybe I get, Prescott, Arizona needs Mo Bryan. But anyway, that goes back to the first hour. But this is insanity. If you're going to spur discussion, like in a class, and maybe they're talking about blackface, maybe they're talking about racism throughout history, maybe they're showing old Amos and Andy shows or whatever. Yes, in the context of what's happening now, of course, Amos and Andy wouldn't happen, or certain other things wouldn't happen. Al Jolson and blackface, all that kind of stuff wouldn't happen. But this was a comedy that was... satire, political and social satire about something that was happening at the time. To have a gold-faced Egyptian saxophone player, you cannot equate that with somebody performing in blackface. And if you're the administration and you coddle these people, you're as much to blame for the lunacy as the people who are doing it. They commit to political activism on campus, these Readies Against Racism. They do sit-ins to achieve their goals. The protests associated with the group are described as visually striking and reportedly include signs that say things like, "We demand space for students of color," "We cannot be erased," "Blank Humanities 110," and "Stop silencing black and brown voices." How does showing Steve Martin's video of King Tut silence black and brown voices?
Yeah.
I don't understand. 312-981-7200. I know it's Sunday night. We usually don't get worked up. I just sometimes political correctness, especially if you were in the... We say a lot of things on this show that are jokes that get misinterpreted
yeah.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm constantly being accused of a myriad of sins, only a portion of which I actually commit. But... I don't see where this is an issue. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to you. We got some texts and calls coming in. 312-981-7200. Don't worry, Naked News, because it is coming up after 8:30. So, but this is just stupidity. All right, we're talking about Reed College and the Readies Against Racism, who have been triggered by Steve Martin's song King Tut, which was played in a required humanities class. Humanities class that, Reed College is trying to revise their humanities course so that the Readies Against Racism group likes them, but the students stopped showing up to the meetings that were designed to do so. One of the professors, an assistant professor at the university, or the college, it's Reed College, describes herself, this woman, as a gay mixed-race woman, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post. She talked about how she's afraid to host classes talking about some sensitive subject matter due to these types of protests. Well, doesn't that just bode well for the future of education? If professors are afraid to talk about sensitive subject because ultra-sensitive college students who believe themselves to be crusaders for right have decided that anything... is an offense. And this is weird coming from Reed College, which describes themselves thusly on the intranet. If you're wondering, they're in Portland, Oregon. And this is right from their website. Reed College is a coeducational, independent liberal arts and sciences college, referred to as one of the most intellectual colleges in the country. This is the part I like the best. Reed is known for its high standards of scholarly practice, creative thinking, and engaged citizenship. Really? Everybody? I don't believe so. Humanities 110 perpetuates white supremacy, according to the group, by centering whiteness as the only required class at Reed, according to the Reedies Against Racism. Listen, I understand racism exists. I know it's still happening. It's everywhere. I'm not saying it doesn't. But I'm also saying anytime you play a racism, sexism card that is not a real thing, you're weakening your case for real problems. There may be real institutional racism at Reed College. There may not be. But I guarantee you, King Tut by Steve Martin is not a racist song. It is a satirical, highly hilarious few minutes of enjoyment. So the more you do this, it's like the boy who cried wolf. One day the wolf is really going to be there. Or the wolf may already be there, but you've got everybody looking over here at a picture of a wolf, and you're not focusing on the real wolf, and you're going to get eaten by it.
And all you're doing is giving everybody else ammo.
Yeah, exactly. And then they go, oh, look at all these kids. They don't know. They don't have their priorities straight. They don't know when to really be offended. They don't know what really is a problem. And, yes, they do. Pat's been hanging on. He wants to jump in from Lockport. Hi, Pat.
Hi there. Well, you really touched a nerve with me on this conversation.
Okay.
You know, and I don't want to get, I'm trying not to get political, but I have a couple of things that I think are valid. Number one, people throw the term racism around for a variety of reasons. They don't even know what in the Sam Hill the word actually means, and they call racist. That's number one. Number two, our social media, the government, the professors, they have to be politically correct. Well, you know what? I thought you send your kids to college to teach them how to think.
Yes.
How to be critical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you said something I didn't like. That has to be hate speech. You're offending my First Amendment. Well, grow up, boys and girls. Put your big boy pants on and your big girl pants on. A difference of opinion is not hate speech. And another thing, who in the Sam Hill do these spoiled brats think they are to make ridiculous demands of their college and their professors? Are they writing the checks?
Well, the
greatest percentage of it, they are not. And when you have somebody, a liberal college like Berkeley can't have a conservative speaker because people are going to be offended. You have to have crybaby rooms. They don't have to take exams because they disagree with the presidential election. But the scariest thing, Brian, is this. These creatures are going to increase and multiply.
That's right. They are
what
the next leaders.
What the hell do you think this country's going to be?
Pat, it's going to be everybody's going to get along. It's going to be beautiful and homogenized.
Really?
Because all our ideas will sync up with each other. There will be no arguments or disagreements because the people who disagree will be hiding and crying. Everybody else will be out, and it's going to be like that commercial Roger referenced before. We're all going to get along and have a Coke. We're all just going to smile.
No, and I mean, I think it's very, very serious.
I do as well. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. But and Pat, thank you for the call. Have a great holiday season. If a university, if a college gives into this sort of madness, then they're wrong as well. And they're a majority of the problem. Because at some point, and I don't mean this to sound like a cranky old man, but at some point you do have to say, hey, you're here to learn how to think. So think. You don't like it? Come up with a cogent argument against it. That's why we're here. We're going to have a discussion. We're going to, you know what? We're going to argue. But argue doesn't mean hate. Argue doesn't have, we're going to debate. And if you're as smart as you say you are because you got into this college, you should be able to come up with an argument about why this is. You shouldn't have a little temper tantrum and try to shut down the school and shut down this class because you didn't agree with a satirical video. You know? It'd be like if you're showing in a film class and you're showing Birth of a Nation, which depicts a time in this country that was horrible. You know? But, all right, let's debate it. Let's see if things have changed at all. Let's use this as a jumping off point for an actual conversation, not a part so we can cry and go and sit and try to shut things down.
And you actually referenced this when you first started this conversation. This song came out at a time to identify with the exhibition
yes.
and the commercialization that was going on back then. What year was this again?
78.
78. So as with any historical event that happened in that time and
yes.
place.
It was 40 years ago.
This song, while older people remember it and think it was funny, it does not have a context for the younger people.
Right.
And it was shown in this class.
And we don't know what kind of context. We don't know what kind of context they put it in. The professor reportedly wanted to use it to spur discussion. So there had to be some sort of context. The point is, relax.
Yeah.
And grow up. And don't be such a baby. All right. That's it. I've had enough.
Take a deep breath.
All right, listen. This is why I just want to slap everybody. This is why I just want to leave here and just start slapping folks. But after the real news, it's been a long time coming. It's another installment, ladies and gentlemen. Naked News on the other side of the real news after this on WGN. All right. Man, this show is flying by. What happened there? That was an abrupt cut.
Roger's not done.
Oh,
yeah.
Roger, you're not done?
No.
Cody's playing bump music. All right, finish up.
That's all right. I mean, it was exciting to go into the news.
Nice.
Sports.
Very exciting.
Yeah, get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, now you're not going to play him?
No, I was going to say, now play it, Cody.
No, he's not going to play one.
Oh, he's very temperamental.
No, he's not. Cody is not feeling good. And he only came in tonight because it's our last live show of the year. So he's not feeling well. And I'm like Ron Burgundy. I hear the music and the Pavlov reaction.
Yeah.
Said, I hear the music, I start talking. That's how it goes. So he...
never happened in 9 years at this station.
Never happened.
Really out of it. I told Brian when we got here, I was like, I would have called in, but it's our last show.
Can you blame the drugs?
I went to Starbucks and I ordered a medicine ball.
I've never heard of this.
It used to be in their secret menu and they moved it to their real menu. When I worked at Starbucks, you can get, it's like two different kinds of tea and they steam lemonade or lemon juice and put some honey in there. And it's called a medicine ball. It's really good, but apparently it doesn't pack enough caffeine to help me function at a major market radio station.
The good news is you're only 23 minutes away from going home.
I'm sorry about that, Raj.
But it's Roger's jumped in numerous times at the inappropriate times, so now Cody got to jump in at an inappropriate time. It's very exciting for all of us that things are happening. And
see, we're free thinkers here.
Sure. We here's the thing.
I'm not thinking.
You roll with it. So if things happen, you just roll with it. If Cody hadn't jumped in, I would have just kept talking. We'd have been 4 minutes into Naked News by now.
The music started playing, and I'm waiting for, like, is this a commercial I haven't heard yet? And then I finally got on the intercom. I said, you know, I'm not done with the news.
Well, maybe that was our subtle way of saying you were done with the news.
I know.
Maybe at this point you were. We felt you were done. Cody had made an executive decision. You know, he used to be a PD at his college station, so
he knows.
He knows what's good on the air. And I think he thought maybe you were more...
just had enough.
Maybe you'd go to Prescott, Arizona. I know a show you could get on.
Wait, I don't have a nickname yet. I don't have an on-air name yet.
You'll have a nickname. Baldy Sour.
Baldy Sour.
Lisa Live and Local, Boron, and Baldy Sour.
Baldy Sour here with your sports report.
No, Nikki Newsboy.
Nikki Newsboy.
You got to have alliteration for a catchy nickname. speaking of alliteration.
Naked news. News of the nakedest. There's always crime. Some people do.
Are we ever
going to
get a new theme?
Call it Naked News.
Ever?
You want one?
No, probably not. Why would I want a new theme?
That one's perfect.
It is perfect. Perfectly awful. Oh, my goodness. Yes, Nick, we haven't done... When was the last time we did Naked News?
It's been a minute.
It's been a long time. Oh, see, now that's a... I had never heard that term till somebody said it to me the other day. Somebody I hadn't seen in a while said, it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hip young thing to say?
Millennials say it. You ever heard your daughter say it?
No.
Mm.
She doesn't talk to me. She doesn't talk to me. What am I going to do? Quick sidebar. I bought big turkey hats to wear to the turkey trot because I thought that would be fun.
Yeah.
And, of course, my wife thought that was hilarious. And my daughter, of course, was like, all right, I'll wear it. And then everybody, we got so many compliments at the race for our hats.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the official photographers took our picture. People were asking, like one family asked if we could take a picture with their infant son. Other people wanted to take pictures with the turkey hat people. I stand by my, I know fun. That's, I don't know a lot.
It's your middle name.
I know fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Fun. That would be my mm-hmm. morning name if I ever took over in Prescott. Yeah, Mr. Fun in the morning. Mr. Fun, I am Bissell and Baldy Sour, the morning show. take this whole show to Prescott. That's all. Just go to Arizona. We'll move to Arizona. We'll live in a condo made of stona. King Tut. Oh, like how I tied that in, Cody. Even on NyQuil, I could do this show.
Are you sure? Do you want to take that challenge?
Listen, how could it be any different?
True.
People already think I'm on hallucinogenics. Oh, man. Buried with a monkey, Funky Tut. Naked drunken man wrecks car in a tree while having sex with passenger, according to the state patrol.
Yeah. Hold on. I need some clarification on the subject.
No, I
was the car having sex? Was the monkey having sex?
The tree was having sex.
Oh, my God.
The tree was having sex with a passenger. No, here it is. A drunken man was driving on State Route 7 near La Grande, which I can't remember where that is. He was naked and he was having sex with an also naked woman who was supposed to be in the passenger seat when he missed a curve, went off Mountain Highway, and struck a tree, according to a State Patrol spokeswoman. Crash happened about 6 p.m. The woman was hospitalized with broken bones. Ooh, and her, oh, no! Well, thankfully, there was a three-month-old in the back seat. The child was uninjured. So that's the good news. The bad news is mom is mounting a dude in the front seat while he's driving. Man, oh, man. The man was arrested and taken to Pierce County Jail on suspicion of felony driving under the influence. Is that what we're calling sex nowadays? Driving under the influence? Of what? Her womanly charms? She hypnotized him. Vehicular assault and child endangerment. I get the child endangerment part. This is a good news, too. He has three prior DUI convictions. Witnesses told responding troopers both the man and the woman were naked when they left the vehicle, which, again, always begs the question, were they naked when they got into the vehicle? Did they get naked as they were driving in the vehicle? Anyone who's had carnal knowledge while moving in a vehicle knows that it's very difficult to disrobe, right? He wasn't focusing on the road, but you should be focusing on the road. You know, the passenger can get naked any time, as evidenced by the one time I drove Cody home, stress, one time. That did not go well. That was awkward.
Look, I had NyQuil.
I understand.
In my system.
It was horrifying. Horrifying. It's not a fun, it's a funny, but thankfully the kid wasn't hurt. Well, physically. But even at 3 months old, you see your mom, riding a guy's gear shifter. That's not how you want to grow up, is it? That's not the Norman Rockwell you want around the family. All right.
But what was the monkey involved?
I didn't say monkey, did I? No, I didn't say monkey.
Is that the NyQuil?
Where did you get monkey? A naked drunken man wrecks car into tree while having sex with a passenger. That was the headline. There was nothing about a monkey. I don't know what kind of weird menage a monkey trois you're trying to create in this car. There's a minibus or, Volkswagen. I don't know what you're trying to create. How does a monkey get involved? That's what the people on Michigan Avenue are wondering, too. How does a monkey get involved? Naked News continues. Man who crashed through Slidell Airport gate arrested in underwear after allegedly encountering a snake, not his own. Slidell Municipal Airport has been the scene of a series of bizarre accidents this year. This one tops the list. A man who said he was heading to Slidell to see a voodoo doctor. That's the only reason to go to Slidell, unless you're our boss Stephanie, who grew up in Slidell. Ooh, I wonder if her family is a voodoo doctor. We got to find out. Maybe then we introduce her voodoo doctor family member to your black magic family member. We create a whole big thing, and we just surround this show in mysticism. Or not. Anyway, he's going through to a voodoo doctor, which is big down in Louisiana. He crashed through one of the airport's gates and later ended up lying across the entrance to a neighboring subdivision in just his underpants, claiming a snake had gone up his pants. Nothing like this ever happens to me. Nothing fun. The airport manager said the man driving a 2001 Chevy Tahoe crashed through the north gate of the airport shortly before 9 a.m. and drove in. Pardon me. He exited immediately, only to re-enter through the airport's open main gate where he crashed into a telephone pole and fell on top of his vehicle. He fled into nearby woods. About 2 hours later, someone called to report a man lying across Belair Boulevard in his underwear. And then he was arrested by Slidell police. His name is Kevin Bolton. He's 43. He lives near Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Bolton claimed he turned on the interstate, off the interstate onto Airport Road because he was being chased. He told the police that a snake had climbed up his pants, so he had stripped to his underwear. Who knows? There was also a problem in August when a Mississippi man was arrested for doing donuts in the airport runway. Craziness. Hold on. I got a cough.
Okay, you're excused. I'll just fill the airtime. Yeah. Up all this power. Well, I do.
Calm down. And calm down. Gone. It's the drugs.
And it's gone. It's okay. All right. There's a lot going on.
Something's going on here.
Right now. What, are you all right in there? I thought you hurt your shins, not your lungs.
This has been weird. Yeah, I'm getting a little something.
But I got something over the weekend. I think it's all the overeating followed by several bottles of wine for several days in a row.
I told my wife, I was supposed to bring some Jolly Ranchers with me.
Because
I had this little tickle.
I got some fudge in here, that's about
fudge it. Fudge isn't going to do it. Fudge is just going to throw up my coat. Or throw up my coat? Wow. Are we all drunk? What's going on?
It's contagious.
Is everybody on this show hammered? Teen says naked dog walker photobombed her senior pictures. Usually senior pictures are pretty boring. There's a classic lean against a tree pose, the sit on the swing pose. Well, that's a... I didn't take senior pictures. Did you have senior pictures in high school?
Oh, yeah. I have glorious flowing locks of hair. My golden curls.
Really?
Falling on my shoulder tops.
Are you Thor?
Yeah.
Or are you Thor?
Dude, I looked like Thor in my senior pictures.
There is not a chance that you look like Thor.
I mean,
demand a senior picture.
I will...
An emaciated Thor.
Yeah, Thor's runt brother. The runt of the Asgardian litter.
Loki, I'm too blonde.
There's absolutely no way you look like Thor. I'll swole up.
I'll give you a framed senior picture for Christmas of me.
You know what? That's funny because I was talking about Christmas today and I said to Debbie, you know what would be funny? If I just give Cody a giant picture of me officiate his wedding with he and Casey cut out of it. And it's just me standing there with the lake behind me. And it's like as big as the dragon. It's like it's Trumpian in size.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking of getting you for Christmas.
Like a giant cardboard cutout.
Yep, just there all the time. Anyway, an Oregon teenager has won the senior picture game once and for all with the help of a wayward nude man. Who she sells seashells by the seashore, inadvertently popped into the frame while walking his dog. Who walks their dog naked? Even in the woods. I barely want to walk my dogs clothed. I'm not walking them naked. Jillian Henry is a rising senior. Wow, we should just call it off. Just
13 more minutes.
Can the last 13 minutes.
You can
minutes,
do it.
Because English has become not my native tongue.
We used to do five-hour shows.
Yeah.
I know. No commercials.
I did two four-hour shows the other day.
Usually on the overnight with food and booze.
Right. Maybe that's what's missing.
Yeah.
Maybe we're too sober. That's the problem. We always need to book alcohol guests.
This is the most sober I've been all weekend.
Jillian Henry is a rising senior at South Eugene High School. She taught the Oregonian... that her friend was taking her photos at the Willamette River on the other day when a nude figure emerged from the forest. That sounds very theatrical. Dog in tow. His dog was running around, and I was like, he's naked. She added that she and her friend thought the situation was funny. So far, the man has not been identified. It's unclear if the school yearbook will publish the photos. Really? It's unclear? Naked guy in the woods? You think that's going to make the yearbook?
If they blur it out, it could be funny.
It'd be hilarious.
Exactly.
All right, maybe they will. Let's see. Let's take a break. We've got maybe a little more naked news. We'll see what else. And then I owe a very tragic story for my holiday season. So that's going to wrap it up. Maybe that'll explain everything. Maybe you'll hear this story and say, all right, now everything makes sense. Everything comes full circle. Be sure you are always listening when we are off for our brand new web-exclusive podcast. It'll be on WGNRadio.com. They will drop at 6 o'clock on the Sundays that we are not here. So when you are done listening to Chris Bowden and John Weideman and Troy Murray and the Blackhawks, you can listen to us at your leisure. That's nice. All right, I have two more naked news stories. I'm only doing one of them because one of them involves a naked guy at Walmart. And that happens... almost too regular to even be considered naked news anymore. That's just Wednesday. So we throw that one in the bin. This one I like just because of the headline. The headline reads, nude Santa Cruz Instagram model accused of mule-kicking cop. Need what? I say more?
Mule? What's a mule kick?
You don't know what a mule kick is?
No.
That's when you backwards kick, like
oh.
a mule. Ha-cha!
Oh,
especially
okay.
if you're naked.
Right. Gotcha.
An Instagram model from Santa Cruz faces multiple charges after she allegedly attacked police during a naked romp at a waterfront Florida hotel. That is the greatest sentence ever. I have never had a naked romp at a waterfront hotel anywhere. But I may try. I'm going to have to book a hotel somewhere near the water.
Well, it's got to be waterfront.
Waterfront.
Can't be like a half a block
away.
No,
I can't.
Okay.
I don't want to walk. It's got to be waterfront.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a naked romp.
That's awesome.
I'm probably going to be alone.
Will there be pictures? Someone's got to, like, follow you surreptitiously.
Why would anyone want to see a picture of me having a naked romp at a waterfront hotel?
Why not?
Wow. You're way too eager. Cody? Please, the restraining orders that we have on file, just fill one out for Roger, please, and submit it to HR. Police said 25-year-old Brissa Dominguez, who goes by Babatty Bree on Instagram, Cody quickly going to Instagram to his Instagram account.
Could you spell that for me, please?
Yes, Babatty Bree. Wasn't wearing any clothes when she scuffled with officers at the Edge Hotel in Clearwater. I'm guessing if I'm a police officer... you know, any kind of disturbance, you're on edge. But if you're a male police officer and you come upon a naked lady, you've got to be even more worried about how you're going to handle this situation. Because you can't just go up and grab them. Because chances are you're going to grab them in some place that they, you know, you normally wouldn't grab them because they're squirming around.
Yeah.
She was arrested on charges of trespassing. Well, sure, if you're having a naked romp, there's a good chance you don't live there. Resisting an officer with violence and battery on a law enforcement officer in the incident. So there you go. She mule kicked him. Naked.
She has 87.3 thousand followers on Instagram.
Is that right?
Yeah, I looked her up.
How's she look?
I mean, she's not my type, but...
She's naked?
Pretty attractive. She's pretty much naked in most of these.
She mule kicking anybody?
Like, definitely full back... Old,
is there any pictures of her with a waterfront hotel naked romp?
No, but there's a lot of water, a lot of beaches, a lot of sand.
Oh, she likes being at the beach.
She loves it.
Yeah, but that's why she was at the waterfront property.
Yeah, but it sounds like it makes her mad.
Some of these have to violate terms of service. These are not PG-13.
I'm sorry, Puritan Jones. You know, just relax.
I'm glad IT's going to see that I'm browsing this
Instagram
page.
That's, yeah, that's true. You are going on. Well, just, you know, just play them this part of the tape. Or they'll go, what time was that? Oh, 8:50? Noonan was on? Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Don't worry. Don't send Cody a letter because we don't want to know the explanation. We'll just chalk it up as, okay. Well, he's looking up Bay Batty Brit or Bay Batty Breeze, and it's not a recipe for a drink. We'll just do that. All right. Here, real quick, because we only have a few more minutes, but this may explain why I'm a little out of sorts tonight. This is going to be my first Christmas holiday season in probably 22 years, where I do not have an inflatable as a yard decoration.
Oh, yeah, you referenced this earlier. I was curious.
Well, yeah. You know my affinity for exterior illumination and
inflatables. You won an award for it.
Of course I have. A major award.
Yes.
I still have it. Major award. My wife won't let me hang it up anymore, but trust me, it's got a plaque. Mm-hmm. Everything is beautiful. But... So I've had to replace inflatables over the years, and I know people have strong opinions on inflatables. Some people are pro, some people are con. Our own John Williams detests inflatables. You know, fine. To each his own. So yesterday I go to put out my decorations. One of them is a very thin-lined snowman who fits perfectly in my new smaller yard. It was great. I have him accented around some little dancing snowmen who... This is the most obnoxious. Anytime you walk past it, a little sensor, they start singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The little snowmen are dancing. They're singing. When I turn on this switch, which powers not only the back porch light, but all the decorations, 5 a.m. when I let the dogs out, the neighborhood is awash with Santa Claus is Coming to Town, much to the consternation of all my neighbors. So I plug in my snowman, expecting it to inflate so I can then stake it down. And I see the lights go on.
Yeah.
The fan is dead.
No.
I know. So I say to my wife, the snowman's dead. We have to go looking. So we did some internet looking, and there's a lot of inflatables.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to American Sale today. because they have everything for Christmas, and they are a sponsor on the show. We appreciate that, but I didn't go there because they're a sponsor. I go there because that's where I've gotten Christmas. So my very first artificial tree that I bought when I moved into my first apartment, I got at American Sales. So I've been going there forever.
Yeah.
And we had picked out, there was one inflatable snowman that was really nice, but it was giant. It was like 8 feet tall and about 3.5 feet wide. It was big, and it had kaleidoscope lighting. It was very jazzy. And it was down to that one and another one that wasn't an inflatable, but looked kind of cool. Until we saw a woman returning that one. And I said to her, ooh, I'm considering buying that. It was very weird and outward for me. I just like leapt into her space. I said, pardon me, I'm thinking of buying that. Can you tell me why you're bringing it back? Yeah, it keeps tipping over, and then it ripped, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, ooh, thank you very much. Go on about your business, ma'am. Well, then, you know how I embrace change.
Sure.
Not at all. We decided, because this inflatable snowman was so big, we went with a couple, like, fiber optic trees.
Oh.
So now we have, we changed it up. So now we have a couple trees on
this. How tall?
They're about 6 feet tall,
that's
7 feet
size.
Tall.
Yeah,
they're the ones that, you know, they're the ones that look like little cones, cylindrical, you know. And, then,
and you can program the
No,
light?
These are just, you just turn them on and they light.
Oh, okay,
just
they be, do what
yeah,
they're
just
told
regular
to do.
Light.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the boss.
Right.
I'm always the boss of my decorations. So, yeah, this will be the, I don't know how it's going to go. I'll be interested to see when I get home, and because I put them up today, so everything's up. I'll be interested to see how it looks when I pull up in front of the house, but it's going to be an adjustment. I'm not going to lie to you. This holiday season is going to be a little rough. All right, let's do this, and then we'll say goodbye.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, that was perfect. Rick Kogan comes your way on the other side of the news. Listen, this is our last show for the year. You will be talking to you on the podcast. Make sure you go and listen to those on WGNRadio.com. But I want to thank you for another year of listening and supporting the program. I want to thank Roger for always being here and being a good sport, and Cody for all his work and for all his contributions to the show. But mostly I want to thank you for being with us for another year and putting up with us for another year. We will, listen, we're going to up our game in 2018. What does that mean? We're just going to be goofier than ever. But it'll be fun. So listen to the podcast. Have a great holiday season. We'll be talking to you very, very soon, I'm sure. All right. Now, time to get out of here. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn and then realize that the machines now rule your life. The news is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. It is 9 o'clock. Here's Roger Fish.